You might think financial crime is all about money, but sometimes it ends in murder. I'm Nicole Lappin, host of Money Crimes, a Crime House original podcast. Each episode features a thrilling story about the dark side of finance and how to protect yourself from it. Follow and listen to Money Crimes, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is News Radio 105.9 WBBM's All Local. Listen and subscribe for Chicago's most up-to-date news each weekday morning and afternoon. Now from the WBBM newsroom, these are the most important news stories from the Chicago area.
Our top story, federal prosecutors have begun their cross-examination of former Illinois House Speaker Mike Madigan in his ongoing federal racketeering conspiracy trial. WBBM's Brandon Eisen joins us live from the Dirksen Federal Courthouse, where Madigan remains under oath at this hour. Brandon, what's been going on?
Yeah, the 12th floor courtroom of Judge Robert Blakey and two overflow rooms are now filled to capacity as Madigan returns to the stand in his federal racketeering conspiracy trial. Last week for the defense, this week now answering the questions of federal prosecutors. Much of the afternoon has centered on painting a picture for jurors, the relationship between Madigan and his political allies over the decades. Allies that Madigan's own testimony would end up appointed to government positions or high-paying jobs in the private sector, notably ComEd, each receiving his personal recommendation, each spending time under Madigan's patronage system, in which they would start by doing political work on his behalf with no pay, with the expectation that he would find them work. Prosecutors inserting evidence at times, attempting to contradict Madigan's answers today and in prior testimony from last week for the defense and in a civil deposition from 2018, attempting to argue Madigan's reach within ComEd through recorded phone conversations and emails. The prosecutor attempted to show that Madigan not only had knowledge that his picks for high-paying jobs at ComEd were not required to work for their salaries, but that he also had the power to directly cut them off from those jobs by his say-so. The former Illinois House Speaker, seemingly unshaken, almost playfully answering questions from the prosecution with responses such as, in all likelihood, not to my memory, not that I recall, that sounds correct. His ultimate defense to claims that moves had been made at his request, that he had been asked for his advice, and he gave his recommendation. Cross-examination of Michael Madigan expected to finish by end of day tomorrow. Jurors will have a short week next week, having both Monday and Tuesday off. Live at the Dirksen Federal Courthouse in the Loop, Brandon Eisen, News Radio 105.9 WBBM.
All right, Brandon, thank you. The embattled head of the Chicago Transit Union is moving on.
CTA President Dorval Carter Jr. announced he plans to retire from the agency effective January 31st. The announcement comes amid calls for his resignation and growing criticism over gaps in bus and train services and the need to plug a regional transit budget gap of more than $700 million once federal COVID-19 relief funds run out. Carter started his CTA career in 1984, and he was appointed to lead the agency in 2015 by then-Mayor Rahm Emanuel. Mai Martinez, News Radio 105.9 WBBM.
Y'all, clear order has been given at a Southside building after someone apparently found something suspicious inside an apartment. There was a large police and fire response at the building near the intersection of 33rd Place and Rhodes. The investigation is ongoing. Chicagoans are getting a look at what could be the city's next gunshot detection system.
15th Ward Alderman Ray Lopez held a demonstration of the gunshot technology in the gym at Davis Square Park on the 4400 block of South Marshfield.
It's a great day here in the city of Chicago. It's a great day for public safety. A day of what's possible as we come together and reimagine what the next generation of gunshot detection technology, coordinated public safety, and community engagement looks like.
The system, developed by a company called Alarm.com, promises a better, faster, non-human integrated system of detecting gunfire. The pilot program, which would need City Hall approval, would be on the southwest side in the 15th Ward. This comes after the city of Chicago shut down ShotSpotter last fall. From Davis Square Park on the southwest side, Terry Keschner, 105.9 WBBM.
The fire department is urging people to check their carbon monoxide detectors during this extreme cold. The call comes after a child died after elevated levels were found in her Albany Park apartment in Chicago.
Chicago Fire Department spokesman Larry Langford says paramedics responded to the home near Gunnison and Sacramento at around 5:15 a.m.
We got on the scene and discovered a 10-year-old in cardiac arrest. That individual was transported to hospital where unfortunately a pronouncement of death was made. A 12-year-old was also transported.
That child was in serious condition. He says they found carbon monoxide levels inside the home at 30 times what should trip a detector. The fire department reminds homeowners and landlords CO detectors are required in Chicago, and this month they often see fires and incidents from the odorless gas. Nancy Hardy, News Radio 105.9 WBBM.
A coalition of immigrant advocacy groups and local officials crowded into City Hall, speaking out against a move to water down Chicago's sanctuary city ordinance.
Attendees at a news conference and rally packed a corridor on City Hall's first floor to protest a planned measure that would allow Chicago police to cooperate with federal authorities trying to deport undocumented immigrants accused of crimes. Reverend Juan Pablo Herrera with Palenque LSNA says that's harmful.
The welcoming ordinance of Chicago is essential. It's essential for our public safety. It's essential for all of Chicagoans to keep us all safe.
Maria Celeste with Organizing Communities Against Deportation says even undocumented, she works, pays taxes, and serves the community.
At a time when anti-immigrant narratives and policies are on the rise, Chicago must remain an example to the nation of what it means to truly protect and uplift immigrant communities.
Coalition leaders say they expect to defeat the amendment. At City Hall, Craig Delamore, News Radio, 105.9 WBBM.
New legislation being introduced to protect sex workers and ensure safety and privacy in Illinois.
A new bill would fully decriminalize adult consensual sex work in the state of Illinois. CEO of LGBTQ plus civil rights organization Equality Illinois, Brian Johnson, says the bill aims to protect workers as well as uphold their dignity.
By decriminalizing sex work, we can help move sex work out of the streets and shadows and ensure that sex workers can partner with law enforcement if they so choose to prevent assaults, track down violent offenders, and stop human trafficking.
The bill would also remove criminal penalties for sex work and establish a Sex Workers' Bill of Rights. Member of the Sex Worker Advisory Group and sex worker of 8 years, Jair, says the bill also helps destigmatize sex work, which he says is happening every day all around us.
Sex workers are everyday people. Some own businesses, some are social workers, some are parents, regular human beings who are trying to live everyday lives.
Carolina Garibay, News Radio 105.9 WBBM.
And time for sports now, and here's 670 The Score's Chris Emma.
Lisa, good afternoon. It's been a week since the Bears began their coaching search in earnest. The ever-growing list has reached 9 interviews conducted thus far. The latest candidate to meet with the Bears was interim head coach Thomas Brown, who completed his interview earlier today. He was 1-4 on the job, but capped his tenure with a win at Lambeau Field. Brown was eager to lay out his vision to Bears management. Meanwhile, key players like Jalen Johnson are following closely.
Some people want to be Mike, some people want to be Ben, some people, I mean, everybody has their opinions on who they think it should be. At the end of the day, I care about results, and I think that's what everybody cares about. Talking to Kevin Warren, hearing some of his things, it's about results, it's about winning. Talking to Pose, it's about finding ways to win, and that's really all it's about.
That was Johnson with the Spiegel and Holmes Show on 670 The Score. The Bears have 1 of 6 current jobs open. The Cowboys joined the mix after parting ways with Mike McCarthy today. McCarthy is expected to interview with the Bears for their opening. The NFL's wildcard weekend closes out tonight as the Rams and Vikings play down in Arizona. Catch that game on 670 The Score. The Blackhawks dropped the puck with the Flames tonight at the United Center. That game gets underway at 6:30. With sports at 16:46, I'm Chris Emma of 670 The Score for News Radio 105.9 WBBM.
Well, the freezing temps hitting Chicago at the early part of this week have city officials sharing where people can stay warm.
The city is reminding residents several warming centers are open if people need a place to stay warm. They're open Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Anyone who needs overnight shelter needs to call 311. Locations include the Inglewood Community Service Center, the Garfield Community Service Center, and the South Chicago Community Service Center. A full list of warming centers can be found at Shy Pub. In addition, Chicago Public Libraries, Park District locations, and police stations serve as warming shelters. Cisco Cotto, News Radio 105.9 WBBM.
Well, consumer groups delivered a petition today to the Illinois Commerce Commission, signed by thousands of residents and advocates, calling for major changes to the troubled People's Gas Pipe Replacement Program.
The groups insist the program is flawed, prioritizes profits over safety, and is billions of dollars over budget, clearly not doing what the program was meant to do, replace the old lead pipes in Chicago with minimal cost and with safety in mind. Abe Scar is the director of the Public Interest Research Group.
What the program has done is led to the largest gas utility rate hike in Illinois history and to 6 years of record people's gas profits. And without reforms, those rate hikes will get much, much worse.
Cost estimates for the program have grown to more than $12 billion, and that is said to be the primary reason for a record $305 million people's gas rate hike. A final decision on an investigation into the pipe replacement program by utility regulators is expected in the coming weeks. Dave Berner, 105.9 WBBM.
All Local is a production of News Radio 105.9 WBBM, Chicago's news, traffic, and weather station. Please like and subscribe to this podcast on the Odyssey app to continue receiving up-to-date news and information.